What is going on, my friends? Mike Walker here with another episode of TWC Talks Podcast. Excited. I've got some friends. I got some buddies with me. And we are here in Vail, Colorado at one of our destination events. Fantastic events. This one's People, Ops, and Profit. A fantastic deep dive, a two-day deep dive into some pretty serious business development and optimization topics. We've got speakers. We've got skiing and snowboarding. We've got a whole lot of fun dinners and drinks and mixers. It's a lot.
Food.
So much food, right? Yeah, that's the cool thing. So if you have not yet attended one of these events, you must come with us. Join us in one of these things. We have London coming up. We've got Barcelona coming up, San Diego. We have some really fun stuff. You can go to wealthyconsultant.com/events and check it out. You'll be glad that you did. All right. Well, let's dive into it now. I'm excited to have my two guests. We have Anthony and Tammy from...
Taiwan.
Not Thailand. Taiwan.
Taiwan.
Not China either.
Okay. So it's a long walk all the way over here. So I'm glad you guys made it, you know? So this was a big one. Tell me, this is your first event. Is that right?
It's our first TWC event.
All right. Fantastic.
And just super impressed.
Good. I'm so glad you guys made it. So let's give our listeners here a vibe for what do you guys do? Give us the little Reader's Digest version.
All right. So just tell you a bit of a story. I studied in Australia for about 14 years.
Okay.
And during my high school years, people ask me, like you did, where are you from? And I tell them, I'm from Taiwan. And then people would be like, oh, yeah. But they actually didn't know where I'm from.
They're like, okay.
Ahead. Yeah. I actually think Thailand.
Oh.
Yeah, because okay. Thailand is a lot more famous
as
a country than Taiwan. We've done better recently because of, you know, the semiconductor industry was doing well.
That's right.
But anyway, back then I decided that, hey, I have to make Taiwan a better non-country. So that's part of my vision.
Wow.
So right now, okay. We help Taiwanese manufacturers create product brands, private label brands, and sell on Amazon.
Got it. So not just be a manufacturer and then... you know, ship it out to the States for someone else to sell. They're actually producing it and selling it themselves.
Exactly.
Is that the difference there?
Exactly.
Fantastic. Exactly. Fantastic. So tell me from a cultural standpoint, I feel like you're introducing a new concept to the market. Is that safe to say?
I mean, they've always wanted to do it,
okay. Right?
Because they know, like, they've been manufacturing products for Nike or the big brands, and they look at the price of the mock-up. They're like, oh my God, I sell them for $3 and they sell for $50 maybe even sometimes.
Yeah.
So like, well, I want to make that kind of margin, but they never really know the connections, how to actually get there. So that's where we bring the concept in and say, hey, you know, this is actually possible. It's not as scary. It's not as far ahead as you think. So yeah, we're introducing the sunset.
Fantastic. And Tammy, what do you do within the company? What is it that you spend your time doing?
Okay. So I'm actually doing all the sales.
Okay.
So we hit the bottleneck and then we find out we cannot do it by our own because we all have our thoughts or people. So we get to need some help from others. And then we find out, oh, there's some company doing this to helping agency to break the bottleneck and then break it through. So, yeah, that's why we are here.
Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. That's so good. So what would you say is the biggest challenge that your clients that you work with, what's the biggest challenge that they're facing?
I think you can say it.
The biggest challenge they have is basically, you know, they want to find ways to have their own freedom because manufacturing for brands is a constant battle for very thin profit margins.
Right. They're just volume only, right?
Volume. And every year they come back and try to renegotiate the costs. They will take a quotation from another manufacturer and say, hey, do for 5% cheaper, 10% cheaper. If not, we're just going to switch.
Right.
So they have no choice. So building their own brains, basically like control their own destiny. So that's basically the problem, I guess, we're trying to solve. Of course, but building a brand is going to take time, right? It doesn't get to, you know, your 20 million revenue overnight.
Right.
But it's like basically like planting a seed and kind of water it over a period of time. And you watch this grow and then have your own power, I guess. You know, it's a new form of freedom for the man.
I imagine it would be.
Yeah.
Imagine it would be. Interesting. And so you guys do live events and stuff too, right? Or how is it that you communicate with your client base? How does that look for you?
Yeah, so we do, so we basically learned how to do VSL through the consulting that you guys are providing. That's been doing pretty well. So now we're finally able to use paid media to acquire customers.
Nice.
Before this, we've been writing blogs for a long, long time. So we were ranked like top of the page for Amazon, how to sell on Amazon.
Oh, wow.
Business transformation through e-commerce.
Yeah.
For 7 years straight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's impressive.
All organic traffic.
Right.
War.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we also have our own YouTube channel. With you 3 years. And that's been awesome as well. Because people, you know, they find your information through Google search, but they actually trust you through the videos that they see. So,
sure.
Adding these two together become a very good customer acquisition channel. And that's how we've been communicating with our clients.
Fantastic. One of my favorite things that I get to do, you know, as client services director here at Wealthy Consultants, work with the clients hands-on in the business. You know, having been an entrepreneur myself for over 25 years in multiple different industries, I just love the creative element. You know, you could take something, an idea or a function or a strategy from one industry and plug it into a different one is revolutionary.
Yeah.
And just that really, what I call sandbox mode, it's just constantly creative, coming up with new things. One thing I'm really, really passionate about. One of the things that I know you guys were experiencing when you first came on board in Chamber was what? It was overwhelmed with your team and stuff. Could you talk a little bit about that? Because I know the problems you guys were experiencing with that is something that our listeners are no doubt experiencing. So talk through what was that process like from realizing what the problem was to then what did you do about it? And then what were the results because of it?
Right. So basically, as a visionary, you always want to expand, grow, scale. Doesn't matter what terminology you make, you basically want to realize your dream and make it bigger.
Bigger, right? Yeah.
You always think the bigger, the better, whether it's a team, the revenue, everything, right? So what I did basically back then is like we had a team of 40 people, you know, basically we're doing about 1.5, 1.6 million. It was already a very big team for a revenue of that size.
Yep.
But we're like, okay, next year I'm going to grow to, let's try it, to hit 3 million. Okay, but since we're doing done for you services, so I was like, well, guys, we need to hire up first. Get ready because the clients are coming.
Right. We cannot be,
you know, out of food to deliver when the hungry guests come,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
We can't do that. So let's hire up first. So we just continue hiring, and waiting for the clients to come, which it didn't really happen, right? Because like you can't just really double the business overnight. Once you hire the people, we still need to train them.
Yes.
I forgot about that.
Right. Oh, yeah. This whole training thing, right?
Yeah. Clients do come, but because the training wasn't really there, so client churn, and actually it hurts the reputation.
Yes.
So at one point, we're like, well, we can't just keep running ads and try to get customers. We either need to suck up the loss and continue to train our team in order to get more clients, or we're just going to have to cut a loss. And I think that time, like we're really struggling. I think that kind of ties back to the concept of your financial benchmarks. Because if you're running a business without proper financial benchmarks to monitor where you are, as a visionary, you don't really think about it. You think, oh, well, there's money in the bank. Let's just try to invest.
Just keep growing and putting money back in, right?
We all think we are Jeff Bezos, right?
Like, oh, I don't know if we all think we're Jeff Bezos, but okay, Anthony, sure. Yeah, we're all Jeff Bezos over here. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to invest, right? Long-term vision.
Now, Sammy, are you the same way? Are you visionary or how?
Yeah, I'm the visionary as well. So,
wow.
Crazy. Like, yeah, let's do it. Crazy.
We're both crazy. Okay. I love it.
All right. Benchmark was really important.
Yeah.
That we learned that you have to look at revenue per head
right.
as a benchmark. You have to check out your recurring revenue versus your fixed expenses as a ratio, you know, because with that, it can scale to keep the right metrics and, you know, like where you are. But without that, you just try to scale and, you know, believing that the revenue will eventually come, that's very dangerous.
Got it. So you were hiring for what you wanted to create. And then what was the result of that type of decision? How many people did you end up with?
So we ended up with 100 people.
100 people.
Okay. The burn rate it's still very crazy, although like most of the team members were based in the Philippines.
Okay.
So although 100 people is probably not like crazy, but at the peak of the time, we were burning through about $200,000 in total expenses in the month.
Right.
And then back then we were not very consistent with the revenue because it's a service-based business as well. Mm-hmm. So we do have a returner component. Clients do come and there's a share and there's a rev share, this kind of stuff. So our revenue was hovering between $100,000 to $150,000. So there was months where we made some money and there were months where we lost $100,000.
Wow.
So it was pretty scary time at that time.
And stressful, I'm sure.
Stressful, yeah. And very stressful.
So my sales was up and down. Depends on my emotions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, and as a visionary salesperson, you filling in that sales role, that's a really interesting dynamic that you just touched on, how I was feeling, you know, my emotions in the moment. I know we've talked about that, like having attribution. Hey, I've had a really good week this week. Why? You need to be able to look back and look at your journal and your entries and go, well, what state was I in where these good results were coming from? Or the inverse of that, I'm having a really bad week. Why? You know, you don't let any loss go on, you know, one in the sense of not knowing where it came from.
Yeah.
And so I know you guys have done really, really well. And I will say, guys, just for our listeners here with us today, you know, this is a perfect example of a chamber client who's coming in coachable, hungry, ready to take whatever actions were necessary. So you took a large group, 100 plus employees, and chopped it down to what?
14.
Okay.
14. 14. So that's a significant cut. And what was the what did you see over the next, say, 30 days as you made those cuts? What happened to you psychologically, emotionally, physically, business, revenue, all that?
Yeah.
What was that transformation?
So obviously we didn't cut 85 people overnight.
Sure. Yeah.
As you know, we still were careful. So
we're not that crazy.
Yeah. So we kind of went through three cycles basically. So, you know, the first cut was about 20 people and they were like, whoa, the business is actually fine.
Right. We're not sinking yet. Okay.
Yeah. And then we waited another a month and a half and then we cut another 20 or 30.
Yep.
And the business was still fine. Well, obviously, we're doing multiple stuff at the same time. At one hand, we're obviously cutting our payroll expenses there. On the other hand, we actually focus more on our consulting offer.
Okay.
So I think we're doing the two at the same time because we're not exactly sure whether the consulting offer is really going to work out. Because we always had a consulting component, but we're not all in on that. We're still more focused on the done-for-you service.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Until we start seeing so many successful case studies from our consulting offer.
Okay.
We didn't have a lot of clients, but the success we had from consulting offer were actually bigger than our done-for-you services.
Wow. Interesting.
So we were like, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So we were not doing as much.
Yeah.
But people were actually getting better successes.
Wow.
So we're actually thinking, what's going on? Turns out, when people are working on their own business, they put their heart and soul.
That's interesting. You're not dragging them up the mountain. You're telling them where to go up the mountain, but they're climbing that themselves.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
When you do a done-for-you services, obviously you have people, you're training them. The time that you can actually invest, compare, although you have the expertise, for sure.
Sure.
But the amount of focus you can actually do on the done-for-you service is somewhat limited.
Mm.
But we're helping small business as well. So our brand managers were spread very thin. You know, one brand manager has to take care of 6-8 clients all done for you. And that doesn't work super well because the time you can invest into rich business is not
sure enough. Diminishing returns.
It's diminishing. So we've done two things. Number one, we actually believe that the consulting offer is a better product for the clients.
Okay.
Because they were getting better results. So we went all in on that. And with our done for you services, we dropped the clients where we were charging very small amount of money and not giving them enough time because we knew that wasn't going to work out. So we dropped those clients. We only keep the clients that were delivering results and they were also paying the value that we're delivering.
Love that.
So we're doing the two things both together at the same time and things are going better. We're like, okay, let's drop again because we want to hit the revenue per head.
Yep.
So we did another 25 or so batch. So that's the three rounds
Three rounds of 85 people.
Letting people go. Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah. And then at the same time, yeah,
right, was
really good.
Yeah.
Doing the last month of all this implementation, we closed the month with about $200,000 in total revenue,
yeah,
but only $70,000 in expenses.
Wow.
So we went from losing $100,000 to the final month making $130,000.
Wow.
Totally
through pure optimization.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I love that, guys. I love that. Sometimes more isn't better, right? Better is better.
Yeah. And not everybody's Jeff Bezos. That's also something you got to remember.
Hey, you know what?
Unless you're bold.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we can do that if you need. You know, like. Fantastic, guys. I love everything about your guys' story. So tell me, you know, your exposure to Chamber, and I know this is your first physical in-person event. But you attend the calls, you're very proactive in our community. What would you say are some of the biggest takeaways that you personally have experienced by being inside Chamber?
Yeah.
The biggest takeaway?
Yeah.
I think in Chamber, I was in traffic and funnel, and then I learned how to have the good sales script to make the sales close. But it was worked pretty well. But after a few years, I just go back to my way with freestyle and it kind of up and down. Mm-hmm. And then we have the bottleneck. So we go back and check what is still doing right now. And we purchase the service again. And then we get into the debug seat. And now I think the best thing that I learned is I finally understand about the sales script and how to handle the objection. So this helped me a lot. Mm-hmm. I really understand how to handle it and handle it well. Also, because we all have the organic traffic before, and we have tried to try the webinar and pay ads before, but after a few months, about 5 months, it doesn't work anymore. And then we learned how to understand the codex.
Yes.
And then we have the BSL with the ads. It was incredible. It helped me close about last month, 50% of the client was from BSL closed. I feel like two times of my sales because of BSL and the ads. And it has really worked well. So I think we can double on it and then getting our sales growth very quickly. Because we understand, there's a journey of client getting close. BSL is more easier, and then events. And then what we do before for organic is slower. 2 years or 1 year to close. I finally understand, that's why. And then we got to find out how to do this more, but not do organic more. Because organic is enough for now. We just keep it, but do more BSL and events.
Love that. Super cool. No, that's really awesome. Look who's here. Mr. Taylor Welch.
Yeah.
Love the events. And what about you, Anthony? What would you say is the biggest win or takeaway so far inside Chamber?
Well, so for me, it was two things, right? So number one is definitely the people that's here. So I remember when I first joined, I was swiping the wings section.
Okay. We have a wins channel for those listening and for those here.
Share your wins.
Yeah, lifts the whole crowd up.
I still remember I was looking at John Cameron's wing. It's like, I closed 650,000 just today. I was like, oh my God. And then I look at another person. He's like, I closed all this money today. I'm like, oh my God. So that really motivated me and thinking, there's so much more opportunity to the people who are doing so much better. So it basically makes me want to learn more, just feeling really motivated to see how other people are doing super well.
Awesome.
So that's one thing. And then another thing is from the business design perspective. So we learned how to do the revolving pricing model.
Mm-hmm.
That's bringing a lot of security and consistency to our business. So I think that's awesome. And very high level thinking, like the codex. So it allows us to really focus on building one thing at a time,
right?
It basically tamed the visionary insight.
Yeah, it gives you guys some rails to run on, right? Gives you a track.
Exactly. So you don't have to go crazy,
right?
Shooting your darts everywhere and
anything,
right? Yeah, exactly.
And everything, guys, it's such a perfect topic here. You know, at the People, Ops, and Profit event, we're talking about this. We have a room full of CEOs, visionaries, founders, very creative thinkers, exceptionally successful. And, you know, their ability level is really high, but oftentimes they just need some frameworks and some guidance on how to direct all that positive energy. And that's what I'm so passionate about. And guys, again, as I've said it, you guys are absolutely perfect addition here to Chamber. I'm so happy you're part of our crowd here, and excited to see you guys at the next events.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks so much for your help as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Mike. All right, guys, we'll get busy back to the event, guys. Have a great one. And we'll be in touch on another episode of TWC Talks.